Hey there, welcome to another edition of the TV Casualty Podcast. I'm Kat Angus, and my evil mastermind sidekick, Jeevan Brower, is with me.
Hey.
Hey. And we have a special guest with us this week, Dose.ca intern Lee McEachran. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I figured we'd start with a show that I know you watch, Being Erica, which is now into season 3. I think you like the show a little bit more than I do.
I love this show. I watch it every week since the beginning, and I am a diehard for it.
What is it? I have some fundamental problems with the show. Okay, first season, sure, she goes back, fixes her regrets, fine. Second season, like, the first half of it was just the exact same thing over again, and I got really bored with it. And then the whole Kai storyline of him traveling back here from the future, that was fantastic. And so I think they realized that their show is better when they sort of play with the format, which is fine, but now they've introduced this group therapy, which has no rules that I can figure out. They all magically know everything about her life, even when they wake up in the middle of the night. And she doesn't know anything about them. She doesn't go back with them, except for the Irish guy?
Adam.
And I realize that the show is not about the rules of time travel, but there still need to be some rules, and it annoys me every week when and they just sort of make it up as they go along. But tell me why you love it so much.
Well, I love the show, I think, more so because of the first and second season. I'm putting up with the group therapy. I'm not crazy about it either because I think there's problems with it. They know everything about her, like you said, but she doesn't know anything about them, and nor does she seem to care. Like, it's all about Erica and her problems. But Tuesday's episode, they didn't have group.
Yeah, thank God for that.
I think they're going to go somewhere with the group therapy. I think they're kind of setting her up to progress and to maybe fill Dr. Tom's shoes. I don't know.
I hope so.
I feel like she'll work her way up. So I think group is just the stage she has to get through, and we have to get through as viewers.
Yeah, that's the problem, though, is that we have to sit through the group therapy. And so, yeah, like you said, last night's episode did not feature the group therapy. It was kind of a Groundhog Day-ish episode where she repeated the same 3 or 4 hours over and over again.
It wasn't a great episode.
It was okay.
But Kai was in it.
Kai returned. He tells her that they sleep together in a few weeks, and then he went back to the future to find her, and he can't. And
she might be dead.
Yeah, but
or married. That was the either or.
Yeah, those are the only two options.
Apparently, yeah. She couldn't have moved or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
She's in another
Maybe
country.
She just went to Europe for a while.
She could be doing exciting things with her publishing company.
Now, while I appreciate them again playing with the format of time travel, can we please stop episodes where Erin Karpluck has to act wacky? Like last night, when she got drunk and walked down the street. Because no, that doesn't look like a drunk person. That just looks like Erin Karpluck trying to act drunk. And it's not funny or endearingly awkward. It's just painful to watch.
Yeah, it was a little painful. But I think they're trying to make the show a little more fun and not so serious all the time. And so, drunk Erica on the street.
It's not so serious, even though she's probably dead in 9 years.
She's probably dead. But it's 9 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, the show is not going to last that long. I guarantee that.
They're going to make us wait 9 years until we can find out where Erica is.
They have this story that's going along of Nadia, Dr. Nadia,
yeah,
who apparently wants Erica to be her patient instead.
I think that's the process. Like, she's supposed to be Nadia's, but Dr. Tom isn't doing his job properly, and he wants to keep Erica around. That's how I interpret it.
I have a theory that when you become a doctor, you cannot stop being one of the doctors until you train one of your patients to replace you. And Erica was Dr. Nadia's best hope for this, and so now Dr. Nadia is really mad that she has to keep doing this until she finds somebody else.
Yeah, maybe.
So
I don't know. I think Dr. Tom feels like Erica's, like, his daughter, the daughter that got away, and now he, I don't know, has some kind of hold on her.
Yeah.
He doesn't want her to go.
And that does form a good bond between them, but that's also not a healthy relationship to have with your psychiatrist.
No.
It's nice to watch, but if this were real life, you know, because real life has time-traveling psychiatrists all the time.
Apparently it does, according to this show.
Yeah.
It's secret. No one knows about it.
But yeah, if this were real life, that psychiatrist would be ethically bound to end that relationship, because that's just unhealthy. Jeevan, do you have anything to throw in here?
Well, as we all know, time travel on television or movies is very tricky.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I'm not getting involved. I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
You're not going to see a psychiatrist that lets you go back in time and forward in time.
I think that would be awesome, but I would just have too many questions about it. Like, what if, you know, one thing changes, then everything changes?
Well, and that was my biggest question at the end of the second season. So Kai from the future has been there for months, and then he sings his song, and that's what he needed to do, and then he goes back, and Kai of the present is there and has no memory of Erica whatsoever. Wouldn't he be freaked out that he has no memory of the last several months? And if he does have memory, wouldn't he know who Erica was? There needs to be some kind of balance.
The last several months, I feel like he goes back in time and he stays there. And then when he gets to his present or whatever, I don't think he connects. I don't know. I feel like the time lapses.
Yeah, but I feel like when Kai of the present woke up and it was suddenly 4 months later and he was doing something else.
I don't think that happens, though. I feel like he doesn't know he's gone.
Okay, but if that's true, they need to make that clear, because that was just very confusing to me. All right, but let's move on.
I'm just happy Kai's back.
Yeah,
that's
and
all I care about.
To be fair, I still watch the show. It just makes me annoyed that they haven't set these rules in, and I think they're doing it on purpose so they don't set boundaries for themselves.
They leave loopholes so yeah. future seasons
But at the same time, I need the rules. I don't know. I need something like that, but I'm probably going to keep watching because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Aw, I like that show. I'll keep watching.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. Have you guys been watching 90210 at all this season?
I have.
How about you, Lee?
I have not. I think I'm devoted to the original, and I can't do it. I can't get into the new version.
Now, did you watch any of the second season? Or just the first season? Or
I've seen a couple episodes here and there, but I'm not a fan. I can't get into it.
It's gotten better, but it's gotten crazier.
Well, first season was terrible.
Yeah.
Second season was amazing because of Crazy Jasper.
Yes, Jasper was the best.
He was this crazy boyfriend who would, like, throw people downstairs and set things on fire.
Did he stalk
crazy
Sinead?
Yes,
he did.
Okay.
It was awesome. Because we don't like Sinead Grimes,
no.
And anybody who makes her or her, and we don't like her character either, so
no.
Anybody who makes Sinead or her character miserable is okay with us.
But you know what, I've come to the conclusion that I really do believe the producers hate her character. Her character gets the craziest plots ever. She now volunteered to be an egg donor.
Yeah.
Because every 18-year-old would want to, you know, donate their egg.
Their
well, not donate,
well,
get paid.
20 grand.
Yeah, for their eggs.
Oh.
But
so is her character poor, then?
Yeah, they're having money problems.
They're nouveau poor.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The mansion is long gone. They're just nouveau poor.
Yeah. Shouldn't they be getting some kind of child support from their dad?
Apparently his new job as a principal in another district doesn't pay that well. But where's their grandmother?
Yeah, doesn't she have... can't they move back into her big mansion?
Right.
I mean, I know Jessica Walters probably has other stuff to do and they don't want to really pay her salary. But
yeah.
Just say like, oh, well, she's in Europe, but she said we could use her mansion.
It would solve so many problems. Apparently they lost all their money on Annie's lawyer. I mean, that was a pretty
And
good
I know,
lawyer.
And then we're supposed to feel bad for Annie, like, oh no, you killed a hobo.
Yeah.
You poor thing.
Didn't she run him over?
She drunkenly ran him over.
Oh, okay.
And then
well,
it took a year for her to admit what she did. And then she took all her parents spent all the money on her defense.
And then her entire punishment happened during the hiatus, so when we come back for season 3, everything's fine, she's
and
off house arrest now.
House arrest.
But, so yeah, so now she is trying to be an egg donor, but then she sees a real-life baby and decides against it.
Yeah.
Follow that logic, yeah. Oh, I'm going to help somebody have a baby. Oh, is that an actual baby? Never mind.
Never mind, keep my eggs to myself.
Yeah, exactly.
She has like a million, apparently, so
oh.
That's how it works.
And then Silver, Naomi, and Adriana are trying to trick Dr. Cannon so he can get caught.
He's a doctor now.
Is he a doctor?
No, he's just a mister.
Mr. Cannon, who raped Naomi, and so now they're trying to get him caught for something else so he'll get into trouble again. But he's on to their tricks.
It was a cool twist. I like that he brought in the principal and the guidance counselor.
Yeah, I saw that coming. Like, as soon as everything was going well and Silver was trying to flirt with him, and also, Silver, don't flirt with anybody. You're not good at flirting.
My biggest problem with the Silver storyline is the lack of Kelly. She's supposed to live with Kelly, well, in her shed. And Jenny Garth is no longer on the show.
She didn't like it either.
She quit because she didn't want to be a homewrecker. Kelly in
2010. Well, and also, apparently she only joined the new 90210 because a friend of hers was a producer, and then her friend quit. She didn't really want to do it anymore.
But, I mean, since Kelly technically still works at the school, shouldn't she be involved in this?
Well, when an actress quits, there's only so much you can do. They should have at least a throwaway line to explain it, but this is 90210 we're
least,
talking about.
I mean, at least, you know, say that her and Dylan are trying things again. Yeah. That would make people happy.
Let's talk about the love that nobody cares about, Ivy and Dixon. Oh, they're trying so hard to make it work, and nobody cares. And they break up this week because Dixon thinks he might have HIV.
They should have given him HIV.
That would have been way more interesting.
A bold storyline for
him
to do.
But instead, it's just he thinks he has HIV, and then just tells Ivy, no, I think I like my ex-girlfriend. And then he finds out he doesn't have HIV, but in the meantime, Ivy has gone and slept with somebody else.
Who's also sleeping with her mother.
Yeah. I don't even know what to do with this show anymore. But seriously, like, your girlfriend comes and asks why you're avoiding her. Why wouldn't you just say, like, you don't even have to say HIV. Just say, my ex-girlfriend showed up. She thinks she might have given me an STD. I'm getting tested. They come back tomorrow. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
It's not hard. There's nothing to be ashamed of, especially not with somebody you supposedly love.
I think, you know, someone of...
Like, way to teach your viewers how to deal with a serious situation.
Lie about it. Lie about it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what my biggest problem with the show this season is that they're not all friends anymore. Like, the girls are friends and the guys kind of hang out. But, like, on the original 90210, they were a group. And they're not on this show, and I want to see them all be friends now instead of just getting together to take down a teacher. And it's only a few of them.
Yeah. It should be a team effort.
Yeah. Now, as a fan of the original 90210, Lee, what is your favorite 90210 moment of all time?
My favorite 90210 moment. There were a lot of good storylines. I would say, like, up to season 5, it was good, and they had all the quirky storylines, you know, with Steve Sanders doing all the ridiculous, like, jokey stuff that kept viewers laughing, and they had the serious lines. I really liked the storyline when Donna and Brenda go to Paris.
and Donna gets, like, a modeling contract?
Yeah, it was a little ridiculous, but it was, like, before Gossip Girl time, where they didn't go and live luxuriously in Paris. They lived in this tiny little room, and, like, it was just a fun storyline that got them away from the Walsh family house.
And then Brenda pretended to be French and, like, fell in love with Reek, with Dean Cain.
Yes, or Clark Kent, as I call him. Yes.
But, like, so she's putting on this fake French accent the entire time. Oh,
he's
Reek!
He's American, though.
Oh, Reek!
He could tell the difference.
You are so funny, Reek! That's my Shannon Doherty impression, apparently.
But also Brenda became an actress, so...
Yeah. And she went off to London and never called.
Never came back.
Nothing.
And
Cindy Walsh seems to have forgotten all about her.
Yeah, well, I would have forgotten about her, too.
Well, she had to deal with Val.
Valerie, right. Because she smoked pot in the bedroom, and Brandon was very concerned about her.
Yeah.
Because it was so bad.
We're not condoning anything, folks. No. We're just rolling our eyes at something else. My favorite 90210 moments, okay, I've got I Choose Me, which is when Kelly doesn't choose either Brandon or Dylan and chooses herself instead.
Well, that went well.
Yeah.
The fire episode with Jenny Garth was also really good.
Oh, yeah, where
she
is burned, but nowhere important.
Yeah, like she had a few on her neck, but then they went away.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But she was dating Brandon Walsh at the time, too, and she was very concerned about her scars.
Donna Martin graduates. Very important. Donna gets drunk at prom, and they're not going to let her graduate, so everybody protests. Kelly is almost involved in a murder-suicide with her single white female friend.
They should do that with Teddy.
Oh!
With gay Teddy.
Teddy on the new 90210, who is coming to grips with his homosexuality.
The girl was not hot enough for him, as he put it.
Yeah, well.
Well, obviously, because
she was
a girl.
Lacking in a certain area.
Yeah.
But I certainly hope Teddy comes to grips with this soon, because I'm getting tired of him just being a jerk to gay people and straight girls.
It's a bad time for that. I like how they had to clean up the gutters.
Yeah, that's their punishment. For him fighting with the gay guy, they both get detention, and then they have to clean out gutters, and then they bond over how well they clean the gutters.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're not going there. That's,
we can't.
We are not going there, Jeevan.
No.
Let's just move on from
my
this
favorite
topic.
My 90210 moment.
Okay.
It wasn't really like a big storyline moment. It was just funny because it involved music. So Brandon and Brenda are listening to REM's Losing My Religion. And Brenda showed a parallel from that song with her life. How she was losing her religion because of her love for Dylan. I just thought that was ridiculous at the time.
My favorite Dylan line was just like, I loved you more than I ever thought I could love anybody. Maybe that was the problem. Yay for me that you loved me too much? I don't know.
Remember when they had the whole storyline with Dylan and his dad?
Who blew
up in the car, and then Dylan was like, no, and then...
Dropped
no.
to his knees.
Yeah, he did this ridiculous, like, scream, and then they found out.
Okay.
All a conspiracy.
Now, which is better... Dylan dropping to his knees and yelling, no! Or Dawson crying when Joey chooses Pacey on Dawson's Creek.
Dawson crying.
Dawson.
Just because the image is, like, well-known now.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about with the Dawson thing, just Google Dawson crying and you will find the funniest animated GIFs you'll ever see in your life. James Vanderbeek, congratulations, Vanderbeek, on your new kid, but good lord, that was some bad acting.
Yeah.
All right, let's just move on from this. We've been talking about 90210 for about 10 minutes now. How about a show that actually can be good sometimes? How I Met Your Mother.
And James Vanderbeek was in it once.
Which he was. He was balding and fat, which was amazing.
There's our tie-in.
The segue. I like how you work, Lee. What did you guys think of Monday's episode, which saw the group racing through New York using different modes of transportation?
I didn't watch. I'm still recovering from last season, so I will catch up.
Okay, you just sit in the corner and
I will
think about what you've done, Jeevan.
Yes.
Lee, what do you think? Are you even a fan of How I Met Your Mother?
It's one of those shows that when I remember it's on, I watch it, I enjoy it. It's like comfort food. Like, it's just a nice, silly show I can watch at any time, and I don't have to figure out what's going on. It's pretty easy to just tune in and enjoy it.
Well, I admit that sometimes the show is great, but in the last season, it was basically running on the fumes of its season 2 greatness, which I think is one of the best seasons of any show that's ever been done. And so I still think back to that season and just go, oh, it was so great. And now sometimes it's pretty good and sometimes it's not. And last season was not very good. It had lost direction. Even the showrunners admitted they kind of lost their way. This season is a little bit better, and I kind of liked this episode as a one-off of just the gang being kind of wacky, trying to treat New York as a character, which is weird.
Every show said New York does.
Yeah, and it's kind of dumb because they shoot in Los Angeles on a soundstage. Were there any parts that you particularly liked?
Well, I just like to say I'm very glad that they're not continuing that Barney Robin storyline, because that was awful. And I just like Barney going back to his old ways, where he's spotting the girl crying and noticing the signs. And I liked when Lily, Allison Hannigan's character, jumps into the subway thinking the doors are about to close. She falls down on her face and then stands up and waits, and the doors slowly close. I can relate.
In defense of the Barney and Robin thing, I think that pairing had a lot of potential that they never tapped into, and then after a few episodes they kind of realized they didn't know what they were doing and just ended it really suddenly. There are theories that they're slowly working their way back to those two getting together, and I'm not against it if they can figure out what to do with it, but...
They should have kept it a secret that only they know about it. They should have just kept it away from Ted, because Ted just gets too neurotic.
Ted is the show's worst character, which is too bad, because he's supposed
to... Yeah, it's pretty boring.
Yeah, but at least they use that to their advantage in this episode, where he tried lecturing people on New York architecture and ended up being the crazy guy on the bus nobody wants to sit with, which was pretty funny. What did you think of Marshall's running song about how he's going to beat the machine?
Yes, and they're waiting for the light to change. Mm-hmm. He's just running on the spot. The song's continuing. Yeah, it was good. It was overall good. I'm just happy that Barney's back.
Mm-hmm.
His old ways. It reminds me a little of Friends with Joey. Remember when he got with Rachel and it just kind of...
Yeah, that was a terrible storyline.
I like that Barney's the womanizer again, and that's just what I enjoy. Marshall's character was okay in this episode. Him and Lily had the cute storyline of them wanting a baby, but I would say Barney was my favorite of this episode.
Yeah, because he was a womanizer, but at the end they showed that he had a little bit of heart and let Robin win so that she could feel like she finally had a win in New York, so that was nice. And, yeah, it was a one-off, and I hope they get back to a little bit more serialized stuff. Apparently next week, Ted's new love interest is being introduced, who is played by Jennifer Morrison from House, and she's been signed on for many episodes, so I hope
that
could
finally be the mother? Probably not.
They're never going to reveal that until, like, 10 seasons from now.
It's going to be the very final episode where he, like, runs into her in an alley, and it's just like, and that's how I met your mother. The end.
Someone we hate.
And I really hope they don't do that, because if the show just keeps going this way and making the mother just this mystery that never has any forward momentum, then I'm getting sick. I've been sick of it for a long time. So I think they should, if that was their plan, I think they should rethink their plan and actually introduce the mother as a character.
I want more Robin Sparkles.
Well, she's coming.
And Nicole Scherzinger
is coming back as her
rival.
As her rival.
Her former best friend, rival.
And apparently Alan Thicke is going to return to do the variety show that Robin Sparkles did with him.
Awesome.
So that's great. Alan Thicke is great in my books just because of all the theme songs he wrote. They were fantastic.
He wasn't really her dad, right? He just played her dad.
He just played her dad in the Sandcastles in the Sand video.
Victor Newman was her dad in the flashback.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm just glad we're clear on that.
Well, Alan Thicke has to guest star at this because Canadian. Right. I have to get a lot of Canadian in there.
I did appreciate when Robin and Barney went to Toronto and they were pretty faithful to what a Tim Hortons looks like.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah, so while How I Met Your Mother can be a little hit or miss, at least their attention to detail is pretty good. Okay, and let's move on to yet another show we don't really like.
But we can. Why do we watch it?
Because it's our jobs, but I'd probably watch it even if it wasn't my job.
Oh.
There's no real explanation. But we're talking about Desperate Housewives, everybody.
It's still on.
It's still on. They're still trying to pretend that Terry Hatcher is sexy.
But they're spectacular.
They were spectacular.
Right, kind of. Fallen.
She admitted. She said, "Now they're just real." And kudos to Terry Hatcher for admitting that. This season, kind of insane.
Yeah, they're supposed to be older, but they still look younger. Wilhelmina Slater from Ugly Betty's on there.
Vanessa L. Williams.
But she's still playing Wilhelmina Slater.
Well, can Vanessa Williams really play anything other than that? Can you imagine her playing anything other than that kind of character?
No.
Like, can you imagine her playing, like, a meek housewife who,
Big glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, now we're going into different territory altogether.
Do you watch Desperate Housewives, Lee?
I do not watch it. I gave up around the tornado episode. It just got too ridiculous for me.
Is that the one where Doug's, like, ex-girlfriend died? And then they had to adopt his daughter.
Yes, and I know they were. Lynette was trapped in the grocery store with her.
No, she died in the grocery store. Someone else died in the tornado.
Oh, okay.
Isn't there a shooting in the grocery store?
Oh, maybe. There's... Oh, yeah, there was. There was a shooting. That's what I'm thinking.
We can't keep all this straight.
Getting them both mixed together.
Now, do you like Vanessa Williams on the show? Do you think she provides something?
I kind of miss Ugly Betty, so I'll take what I can get at this point.
My problem is that Lynette has always been a bit of a shrew, but she's even more of a shrew this year. Everything that Doug says to her, she dismisses and makes fun of him for. Like, he has legitimate postpartum depression, which, granted, is mostly associated with women, but can be associated with men. And she just makes fun of him and basically calls him a small cat.
She took away his pot.
Yeah, took away his pot, which... he needed.
It was medically given to him.
And she just flushed it or Yeah. Washed it down the sink because she thought he didn't need it, as if that's her decision.
No.
Yeah. You should have divorced her around the pizza episode.
I like Felicity.
The pizza parlor.
Pizza parlor.
Remember? She was like...
Do they still have the pizza parlor?
No, the pizza parlor disappeared, I think, after the daughter disappeared. So.
But the daughter actually was sent away.
She should come back and be like a sex pot now.
Eh, I don't think so. Isn't she still like 14?
She should be like 17 by now.
Are they going to do like the soap opera rapid aging syndrome?
They might as well at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing's realistic on this show anymore.
It doesn't matter. Dr. Kimberly Shaw's with David Silver.
I love that storyline. I think I love Bree. She's the only character I still like. And if Marsha Cross can make out with Brian Austin Green, more power to her.
Makes me happy that Brian Austin Green got a job.
And at least he's not rapping.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Bringing it back around
that
to 902.
That was not one of my favorite storylines in Beverly Hills.
Do you remember in the closing credits they would play his music videos?
Yes.
Just...
With his keyboard piano.
Yes.
Oh, he was so hip, you guys.
And he did the whole shoulder dance.
We're doing it now.
Yeah.
So, to get back to 90210 and to make you guys stop doing that dance, they really need to stop the Susan cleans her house in her lingerie on the internet storyline, because it's really just painful to watch Terry Hatcher do this and try to act sexy and coy. And also, she's lying to her husband about it.
Again,
have they not learned by now that this is just a bad idea?
Yeah.
Isn't she a children's book illustrator?
Yeah.
Doesn't she have enough money from this?
No,
apparently
not. And she got some big inheritance from her ex-husband when he died.
But
he died in the tornado.
Died in the plane crash.
Yes, the tornado. No. Okay.
There's so many disasters on this show, we
Seriously,
can't remember.
Seriously, who
them.
Moves to Wisteria Lane? Nobody should do that. Tornadoes, shootings, plane
murder.
Crash, a lot of murder.
Murders, yeah.
And then awkward house cleanings.
Remember when the woman kept her son in the basement or in that
Alfred Woodard?
Yeah.
Yes. Man, this show, if something else were on at 9 p.m. on Sunday, I would watch it, but there's not.
One storyline I do like this season is the baby switch. I didn't think I'd like it. It's just Eva Longoria Parker is... Her acting is really good.
I was really surprised.
She can do comedy and she can do drama.
And they don't give her the chance to do drama that much.
No.
But the scene where she found out that Juanita was not her real daughter was fantastic.
Now, I'm upset that it's Juanita who got switched. I was hoping for the other one who we don't see anymore. Because I really like Juanita. I think she's awesome.
Is it Juanita played by Demi Lovato's
half-sister?
Half-sister, yeah.
Yep. Good for her being related to Demi Lovato. Hooray!
But yeah, I don't want to see Juanita go.
Well, I don't think she's going to go anywhere. If you like her, they're going to keep her around, Jeevan.
Thank you.
So that does it for this week's edition of the TV Casualty Podcast. I'd like to thank Lee for joining in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can read more of my blog at dose.ca/TV Casualty and check out Jeevan's blog at dose.ca/watercooler. See you next week.